Praise the Lord, everybody. Anybody glad you know who Jesus is? Anybody got the Holy Ghost and still excited about it on a Thursday night? And it started feeling apostolic here toward the end just a moment ago. I feel like God's got great things he wants to do in this service tonight. And I was watching, I don't know how many people's here. I'm just going to be prophetic and say 3,000, but it's probably under that. But the amount of people up here worshiping compared to the amount of people that weren't was very lopsided. Well, I'm starting off good. Praise God. And so I was going to give us one more chance without the music helping us. I think we ought to give God the loudest praise that we've given him all day. I think we can give him a louder praise than a ball game. Woo! I just felt something shift in the atmosphere right there. Somebody ought to leap for joy while you're shouting right now. You ought to throw your head back. You ought to open your mouth, and you ought to give God a shout of praise. Welcome to Pentecost. Oh, come on, right where you're at. There ought to be about 15 more that ought to join in right now. Come on, we ought to take about 30 seconds and just begin to give God praise just because he's worthy of it. Come on, if you need a healing in your body, you ought to lift your hands and begin to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Something happens when God's people begin to lift their voice. Praise God. Look at somebody next to you and tell them it's church time. It's Holy Ghost time. We've come to stomp on the devil tonight. We've come to see some young people pray through to the Holy Ghost tonight. We've come to see some that are struggling to come victorious tonight. Come on, I've come to reach for the struggler. Come on, there's some parents here. You're praying that God will move. And I'm believing that tonight and tomorrow night when Brother Fish begins to preach, that God's going to bring a thunderous word that's going to grab somebody out of the hell that they're living in and begin to break the chains. Anybody got a little faith with the preacher right now that believes this week is going to be a destiny-changing week for somebody in the house? Come on, if you got a baby that ain't doing right, you ought to lift your voice and say, God, let my baby be grabbed by the Holy Ghost this week. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I feel victory in the building tonight. Woo, I feel victory in the house tonight. Anybody feel that right now? Come on, it's starting to feel good in the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, you might as well loosen up a little bit. We only got two nights. We got to get in the Holy Ghost. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. It's such an honor to be back for another Mid-America Conference. I give honor to Pastor and Sister Holmes of this local church, my friends. They've been to Red Bluff, kind enough to come and bless our local church back home. And I love them, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. Give honor to Bishop Holmes and to his wife. So thankful for his years of ministry and friendship and mentorship to me. I love these people, and I'm just thankful to be here. Thank you for the room. It's all right. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you for the room, the basket. I'm so looking forward to the ministry of Brother Fish tomorrow night. And I know God has given him a word for me and my church. I honor all the ministry. I have many friends here. I looked at them on my way to the pulpit and I said, do I have any help in this section? Praise God. And I'm thankful for my ministry friends that are here. And it's a special treat to have my family, my wife and kids with me. It's so awesome to travel with them. That doesn't always get to happen. And we've got about 16 of us, a group of us from the North State right here on the front row. I brought my own Amen crew. I knew I needed somebody to help me. Some of the greatest young adults in all the world. Amen. Time is ticking, and I've come with a word from God tonight. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 18. I believe God sent me here to help somebody get a hold of something in the Holy Ghost tonight and walk away with overcoming power. I don't believe that we need to settle for a sprinkling of the Spirit. We don't settle for sprinkling in baptism. I don't want a sprinkling of the Holy Ghost. I believe God wants to pour it out on somebody this week. Praise God. If you have your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading in the 21st verse. This is a battle that has happened as Absalom is trying to overthrow the throne of his father David. Absalom is defeated. They're trying to find somebody to deliver the message to the king. And so in verse 21 of 2 Samuel chapter 18, Joab said to Cushai, "Go tell the king what thou hast seen." Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, "But howsoever, let me, I pray thee also, run after Cushai." Joab said, "Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?" However, he said he, "Let me run." And he said, "Run." And Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, a man running alone. The watchman cried and told the king. The king said, "If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth." And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter, "Behold, another man running alone." The king said, "He also bringeth tidings." Because what would be the purpose to run if you didn't have anything to deliver? And the watchman said, "Methinking the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." The king said, "He is a good man, cometh with good tidings." Ahimaaz called and said to the king, "All is well." Fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which had delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against the Lord the king." The king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." The king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." He stood aside and stood still. "I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." And I'm going to preach for the next few moments, running without a message. Running without a message. Would you lay your Bibles down? And I know you know how to pray. Would you lift your voice and pray out loud that the Holy Ghost would move in a mighty way these next few moments? Come on, I wonder if we get everybody involved. Would you lift your voice above a whisper and begin to pray that God would begin to work right now? God, I pray there'd be an old-time anointing in this house tonight, God. God, I pray the anointing would destroy every yoke of bondage. God, let your glory cloud fill this house. God, would you anoint my mind and my spirit, God? Hallelujah. You may be seated, running without a message. I've got a lot of ground to cover and only so much attention span. So I don't have time to warm up. We've just got to move quickly tonight because I believe the enemy needs to be put under our feet before some of us go home. In 1964, Ronald Reagan was campaigning for then presidential candidate Barry Goldwater. And he said this statement in one of his famous speeches. He said, "If we don't act now," talking about what was at stake in America in that current election. He said, "If we don't act now, we will be known as the generation that had the most to lose, but did the least to preserve it." I feel that that is true about this apostolic last days generation. That if we don't act now, we will be known as the generation that had the most to lose, but did the least to preserve it. We've got a lot riding upon those of us that are in this building tonight. We are living in last days. And if our current chaos in our world hasn't shown you, then you haven't been paying attention. The time for revival is now. It's not time to be cold. It's not time to be backslid. It's not time to be playing games with sin. It is harvest time. There's no more time to decide whether or not you're going to live for God, whether or not you're going to continue to live right. You need to make up your mind. I'm going to hear him say, well done, and I'm going to live right, and I'm going to have revival. Anybody hearing the preacher tonight? When I stand here tonight, I'm looking at a sea of potential in this congregation. I'm looking at people upon whom is the responsibility of the future of the apostolic church. There's great potential sitting on these pews tonight. I see soul winners sitting on these pews. I see preachers sitting on these pews. I'm not talking about the ones that are already preaching. I'm talking about ones that are going to become preachers are sitting on these pews. There are business owners on these pews that God is going to use to fund revival in these last days. I see a people that have the greatest opportunity of any generation before us to have a supernatural apostolic move of the Holy Ghost. We've got the most talented people that apostolic churches have ever had. We have got the best dressed. We've got the most connected. We've got the most talented. This generation is blessed financially more than any that preceded us. We've got more personality. We've got more ability. We've got more opportunity to have revival. We've got more tools at our fingertips. Anybody believe that tonight? We've got more access to knowledge. Study is easier. You can do a word search. We've got everything we need to have revival. And as the world plunges into greater darkness, let me just tell you, I'm not worried. I'm saying there's no better time for the light to shine than in the midst of the darkest night. I feel like telling the devil, bring it on. We've got something. We've got an equip. We've got a power. We've got an ability like Pentecost has never had. Oh, if you believe that, you ought to give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, we're going somewhere, but we ought to give God some praise in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, it's revival time. Ain't nobody better equipped than the people I'm looking at right now. You can do it. Do you believe you can do it? Do you really believe that God can use you? With all this potential, with all this ability, and with all the opportunity, and with all the technology, and with all the financial prosperity, that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. It's going to be a fight. It's not going to come casually, and it's not going to come without great determination, because we are in a war against the darkness of this world. And if we're not careful, these very advancements and these very blessings that we have and these great opportunities can become the very snares that trap us and keep us from achieving revival. It can become these advancements that we're so thankful for, that have made revival convenient and have made sacrifice easy. If we're not careful, it can take the place of our consecration. Because why pray when we can just have church that's good because we're talented? Why spend so much time in study when Google can give me all the answers that I need to copy and paste? Why sacrifice when I've got enough money to spend my free time on my hobbies rather than the work of God? Why engage on Thursday night in the worship service? I'll just catch the recap reel when I get home. We've got all this help and church is running smoothly. But you better never forget that we can run because of what we have. It didn't get here with all of this, and thank God for it. But somewhere, there's still only one answer to having victory. You got to fall on your face. God, I just felt something lift in the Holy Ghost right now.
Never forget, it was the message that brought you here. It was the message for why you run.
My God, let's worship for just a moment right now. I'm going to come for some people here in a minute. I need you that are spiritual to lift your voice for just a moment. I've come to fight hell for some people tonight. We've got a ways to go, but I want you to lift your voice right now and just tap in the Holy Ghost. I want you to lift your voice and say, God, help me to run, but help me to run with anointing. Help there to be something that gets down on the inside of me that realizes these blessings are to further the kingdom and not to make me lazy spiritually. Greatest battles in this last day church is distraction. It's a lack of awareness. Our world is the master at distracting and taking our attention away with its manufactured crisis and its reels and its TikToks so that you can't really see what's happening right below our noses. And it's an attack that's actually happening in the spirit, as the enemy is trying to get us so distracted with all these blessings and advancements that it has made well-dressed apostolics that live in inactivity. It's made good-looking church people that don't have action and don't walk in authority, but just coast along and make church easy. It's distractions. If we're going to win the war against the prevailing darkness, you better make sure these blessings don't become vices. They're here to help us run, not to slow us down. It's not time to trade dedication and sacrifice for the altars of convenience. It's God, help me preach right now. Are you hearing me right now? I know we've got a lot of information to equip us, but we've got to fight a spirit of apathy that's from hell, that's causing people to be clueless about how to handle what we have. Come on, I feel victory in the house right now. We've got too many people that aren't sure why we do what we do, or what do we do when the conference is over? What do I do when the live stream ends? What do I do now? We're in a battle. It's a battle for revelation, because our world is in crisis. This generation is in an identity crisis. It's nothing new. Every generation has had to face crisis. From the day the church was birthed, every generation has had to survive and had to thrive and had to overcome their present battle. Every generation has had to have somebody that stood up while others backslid and said, no, I'm actually going to live what's been preached, and I'm going to become what God wants me to become. Every generation has had to have a teenager somewhere rise up and defend and proclaim the message. Every generation has had their battles. They fought the hippie movement. They fought the rock and roll rebellion. They fought racism. And by the way, racism is not allowed in the apostolic church. I'm gonna say it again. The only color that matters in here is the red blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody give God a shout if you believe that right now. They had to fight racism. They had to fight the sex revolution. And now today, we've got the gender confusion and we've got the woke culture. Can I just preach for a little while? We've got cancel culture. And in this battle, it's raging on. We've got too many in the apostolic church that are still in an identity crisis, trying to figure out who they are and what they are. And they're becoming complacent because the world is blurring the lines. But as you look in this world, as they're blurring the lines, are you hearing me, church? Trying to erase identity. This transgender unisex movement is really a physical manifestation of a spiritual battle. What you're seeing is a reflection of a war that's happening in the church, as the spirit of hell is trying to blur the lines between the bride and the harlot.
Oh, I just felt that political correctness spirit step in. You're in the wrong church spirit. You're going to have to go somewhere else. We're raising up an army that doesn't live by the world's word. We live by God's word. Come on. They're trying to blur the lines between the bride and the harlot. The devil wants a transgender church. It's a church that's fluid, that you can't really tell if they're the bride or not. But the devil is a liar because God's bride is gender specific. It's clearly defined. Nobody looks at God's bride and is confused. Is that the church? Is that the bride? I can't tell if that's a man or a woman. I can't tell if it's God's church or it's just a charismatic church. I'm going to tell you, God's church is not in gender confusion today. God's bride stands out in the... Come on, are you hearing the preacher right now? You didn't walk into a gender-fluid church. You're in the holy bride of Jesus Christ. You can spot the bride from a distance. There's no confusion if you're in the bride or not.
The spirit of hell is the crisis we fight today. As people are walking away from biblical truths, and many in this generation are following them, saying things like, why is that a deal? Completely shocked that somebody still talks about facial hair.
What's the big deal? Why do we believe that? Why have we stood for that all these years? And the lines are starting to be blurred from apostolic to half apostolic to not apostolic. And lines are starting to move because we'll take some portions of truth, but we'll throw away other portions of truth. And it's hard to tell who's an apostolic church and who's not anymore. I'm gonna preach it till the devils are dead that are trying to stop it right now. You bring that live stream in on my face right now. Listen to me, apostolic world. Stop trying to blur the lines between the church and the world. It's time to man up. It's time to woman up and say, you know what? I am on the team that says apostolic. I'm glad to be a one God. Well, I thought I had a few apostolics in the house right now. Ain't no confusion about where I go to church. Ain't no confusion about what I believe. Welcome to Pentecost. Somebody ought to get loose in the Holy Ghost right now. It's time to be defined. This is who we are. Quit flirting with false doctrine. Quit flirting with the world. We look different. We talk different. We act different. We worship different. We dress different. Any apostolics in the house right now, if you believe what the preacher's preaching, you ought to take a moment and lose your mind in worship right now. This is the bride. It's not because we're sticks in the mud. It's not because we're old hat or legalistic. We have a message. We have a message.
Oh, God. Let's love them one more time. Come on, I know where I'm going. We're going to push through right now. I need about 10 elders with gray hair to lift your voice and tap in the Holy Ghost for some of us right now. Something's about to break loose in the next few moments. Come on.
Oh, come on. Anybody got the message tonight? Anybody glad to be the bride tonight? Anybody glad to be Holy Ghost filled tonight? Because the reason we have this problem is there are too many among us that don't know the message. We're living in an Amos 8 and 11 world where he said the days are going to come, saith the Lord God, that I'm going to send a famine in the land. It's not a famine of bread. It's not a thirst for water. But it's of hearing the words of the Lord. It's a famine of the message. And I will be so bold to say tonight, that much of the upheaval that's plaguing this generation is because we suffered a famine of the word across Pentecost, and pulpits went silent because the culture changed and told us that old time truths were offensive and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And so we're seeing waves of people accepting things from the world that every apostolic commonly used to stand against. We're seeing young people struggle with great darkness that they should have victory over. Because there was a time period when I'm fixing to help some young people. You just ride the train with me right now. There was a time period when all I heard preached as a child in a certain arena of my life was revival, and soul winning. And I've still got an evangelist blood running deep in me. We better always be about revival and soul winning. But all I ever heard for so many years in so many places was lengthen. But because we didn't spend as much time preaching strengthen, the tent got stretched farther than the consecration of the stakes of holiness and prayer could hold us. And things started collapsing because if we don't strengthen, we can't sustain the stretch that God is trying to give us. You can't answer a call of God if you don't have a depth of prayer and consecration. God, I feel it breaking loose right now. Come on. Harvest and holiness go hand in hand. You know why the world wants what we have? Because when they look in here, they don't see the world they're leaving. The world wants what we have. You know what attracts people to us? It's not our singularities. It's the fact that they don't see the world that they're in. Oh, God, help me right now. I hope to God when the young people from the world get around the ones in our youth groups, they don't become worse than when they came in. My God, is there any teenagers in the house that says, hey, world, not everybody is doing what you're doing. There is a better way. My God, if there is, there ought to be some young people that get loose in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on. There's been a famine of the word. There's been a famine of personal study, of people digging out what thus saith the word of the Lord. There's been a lack of passion for the message that we shout about. And as a result, we're seeing too many among us that should and do believe this message, but they don't really understand it enough to explain it. I knew I had my work cut out for me for a little bit. I'm going to talk to somebody right now. I'm glad you shout over the oneness of God, but can you tell somebody about the oneness of God? Come on. We've got a famine of understanding, and I'm watching confusion, and I'm watching young people struggle with old truths, and all I can do to pinpoint it is somewhere they never grabbed the message. Somewhere they learned to shout before they learned to get the message. Somewhere they learned to dance before they learned to weep. Somewhere they learned to tap dance on the devil's head before they learned to lay in the halter and groan. I'm preaching to somebody right now. I thank God for apostolic shouting, but let me tell you how you go overcome lust. Let me tell you how you're going to overcome hell. It's not the run, it's the message. It's go ahead. Oh, I feel it. I'm thankful for apostolic worship. Don't you go away and lie and say Brother Cox is anti-shouting. I'm telling you, I think we ought to be the loudest apostolics more than we've ever been before. I don't like dead church. I don't like church services where nobody's praying. I don't like church where nobody helps the preacher preach. I don't like tight altar calls. And I don't think Jesus likes dead church. He's not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. He likes church where people run the aisles, where people still roll on the floor. We used to sing it. They call us holy rollers, and they're always making fun. But I'm glad I got the Holy. Don't let him do it by himself. Surely there's some apostolic teenagers that ain't dressed too nice. I thank God out of 1,000, we got 3 people that still know what old-time apostolic worship is. Let me tell you, old-time apostolic worship ain't pretty. It messes that custom suit all up. It makes you sweat. Somebody ought to do that right now. Who knows? You just might get delivered. Are there any 16-year-olds that would take a break for a moment and just give God some praise in the Holy Ghost? Come on. My God, just do that for a little while. Is that it? I think we got about 60 people. Is there anybody else that says, hey, we're still holy rollers. We're still tongue talkers. We're still shouters. We still dance until our shirt tail comes out. We still worship in our mezlons. We still praise God in our J. Irvin suit. Come on, you ought to give God some praise right now. If you're dressed too nice to shout, you've got costly array on. Because if it's too clean to shout, it's too much for you to wear. Ain't nothing, David, that kingly robe ain't worth stopping your worship over. This is what apostolics do. Go ahead. Well, let's just do this for a moment right now. Let's just get loose right now. Where's my runners at? Where's my shouters at? Daddy, if your children ain't running, maybe you ought to run. Maybe they ain't ever seen you run. Maybe they ain't ever seen you shout. Let them know this is what got us here. Come on, I feel something breaking. I feel something loosening in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, let's take a moment for this. Come on. I like dancing. God likes shouting. It's not time for dead church in a dead world. Never let another Sunday at your church be quiet while the man of God's trying to preach. We've got to have better church than we've ever had. We need rolling on the floor. We need devil stomping. We need tongue talking. Come on. But we're not just running for something. We're running with something. I ain't just shouting because the music's good. I ain't just running because Pastor Cox won't shut up about it on Thursday night. I have something. I've got something in my hands. I ain't just doing this because it's the time to do it. I'm not running for something. I'm running with it, Brother Urshan. I've got... Let me tell you why I shout. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let me tell you why I dance. Praise Him in the dance. Praise Him. But we ain't just doing this to hype. We've got something. When the shout is over, do you have a message? When the dance is over, do you know what it means to be apostolic? When Brother Randy Williams gets done teaching us how to praise the Lord by example, and when he walks off, he's still apostolic, but are you? Do you have a message? We're not just high shouters. We are message carriers. We don't run just because we've got nothing better to do. We don't dress like this just because our pastors are stuck in the mud. We've got something. Go ahead. If you've got a message, you ought to praise God right now. Come on. This is who we are. But when you get done, are you living right? So we're in a battle for the soul of this generation, not the world, the apostolic church. Every generation's had their battles, but let me declare the one we're dealing with right now. The spirit of questioning everything.
Everything's under scrutiny and direct assault. And of all the generations that have preceded us, it's imperative that this apostolic church have equipped themselves with an understanding and a knowledge and a love for the truth. All of it. All of it. Well, I know Acts 2:38, there's a little bit more than that. I feel it right here. I'm gonna take a giant down tonight. Come on, I'm gonna preach till some Goliaths are dead tonight. We're in the last stretch of the race, brothers and sisters. We're around in the final turn. This moment is important because it's always the last mile when fatigue sets in and outside pressure and the heat starts getting to you. We're in the last stretch of the race. We're in the final term. We're in the final round. It's time to step up the pace and not put it on cruise control. It ain't time for less consecration. All of these blessings and advancements are not a replacement for devotion and determination and dedication and consecration. It's not time to step out. It's time to step up. It's too many people are tapping out on the last turn because the world's pulling on them. And backslidden apostolics are pulling on them. And because they don't have a solid understanding of why we run, the seeming easier comfort. When you don't understand the preservation of this message and the beauty of it, the world seems easier on the surface. And I begin to look up reasons of why people in their younger years leave the church. Over 60% of claiming to be born again Christians between the ages of 18 and 29 believe Jesus. That's a big number. 60% of those claiming to be born again in the general Christian world between 18 and 29 years old believe Jesus, Buddha, and Muhammad are all equal in regards to a path of salvation. And it showed that the majority of born-again Christians are ignorant about the basic teachings of their faith. And one of the reasons, you hear me right now, over 70% were asked why they leave the church. They cited political reasons, meaning they did not like the church's stance on political issues such as abortion and homosexuality. And it is an absolute tragedy when our world is better at evangelizing our young people than we are. Come on, I'm gonna preach for a little while right now. We're in a war for truth. I'm gonna tell you, the world don't get to define what justice does. The Bible defines love and justice. I'm not gonna let hell get to my kids before I get to them. Come on, we're in a war. I need more than just shouters. We need message carriers. I don't just need devil stompers only. I need people that have got it in their heart. Are there any message carriers in the house? Are there any message carriers in the house? Come on. It's time to have revival. You're a part of the church with the only saving message. It's time to get all of it. It's time to get all of it.
There are ladies in here right now questioning their sexuality.
Don't lock up on me, Mom and Dad. Oh, not in here. You don't know what kind of hell on earth is happening to this generation right now. God, I feel it right now in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know I was going to feel it like I just felt it. But there's some young men wondering and questioning stuff at a rate in the apostolic church that we never used to have to deal with. God, I feel in the Holy Ghost. I had a young lady tell me, she said, if God created love, then how could this feeling be wrong? I said, because you've let the world change the definition of love. God created love, but the world tells you lust is love. Come on, I feel a loosening in the house right now. I'm gonna preach condemnation and confusion. Thank you, TRC, help me preach right now. I'm gonna preach somebody out of the confusion. I'm gonna preach somebody out. Get the message, get the message. Lift your hands in the Holy Ghost right now. Lift your hands. Somebody's about to get a... Go, go, go right now. Let it go in the Holy Ghost. You hear me, young lady? I don't care what the devil says. You are not what you're tempted by. The devil is selling you a bill of lies.
Come on. You've shouted over the distractions. You've danced and went home and wondered if you were a lesbian. You've shouted and went home and wondered if you were bi. The devil is a liar. You've got to go beyond the run.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go.
Come on. Come on. Quit looking at conference preachers like rock stars. It don't matter what their name is. Did you get the message when they got done? It don't matter how good the worship was. Did you leave with the message? Thank God for the afterhangs. But did you get the message? Did you get the message? Did you get the message?
My God, I love my tayeko. I'm gonna have to let the Holy Ghost lead me to the remainder. I've got so much. We're up against so much. God's gonna have to help me navigate right now. But we've got too many people that are running and they have no idea why. And it ain't because these men of God ain't preaching it. Well, I learned that. I'm a quick learner. I got more questions in the last 2 years of pastoring than I've ever had answers for anything because I preach it, and not everybody always gets the message. Every pastor up here has dealt with issues that they preached about before the issues happened. It ain't because these, I can't speak for other places, but I want you to look on this platform. These men are preaching truth. These are not compromisers. These are not people that hate you. They're not stuck in the mud. They weep for you. They stand against opposition. They stand against friends. And they don't stop preaching. The reason is not because the preachers aren't preaching it. Somewhere between the pulpit and the pew, that foul Lucifer, that old raven Satan is swooping down and he's grabbing the message. And we've lost the message in the arms of our shouting.
We shout over stuff instead of pray through over it. We got people that can shout their hair down. Hopefully that still happens in our churches. We're working on it back home. We're going to get there. I always say there will be a day when I pastor that everybody in the building's going to get loose on the Holy Ghost. I'm going to live to see it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But there's people that can scream and get in our Pentecostal mosh pits. I'm walking down your lane right now. And they have aisle running church. And they'll leap and they'll dance. But they walk out of the aisle. They walk out of the high church service. They walk out of the Little Rock shout. I've been telling my church already knows, hit the Little Rock shout. It's time for us to have worship. But when they walk out of these high worship services and they can't explain the new birth and they can't answer why they dress like they dress and they don't understand the oneness of God and they struggle living right during the week and we've got a pandemic of too many among us in Pentecost who are living things they don't understand. They're running, but they don't have any tidings. We've got a lot of runners, but we don't have enough message carriers. Oh, we've got people that know some messages. I could hand the mic to some of these young men, and they could quote passing yards. They could quote touchdowns of their favorite football player, but couldn't give you three scriptures on the oneness of God. I'm going to preach it right now because I want to wake you up. They can tell you every three-point shot of their favorite basketball player. Some of these girls know the names of all the Kardashians. They know every lyric to that filthy Cardi B song. But they can't name three verses that tell you repent or you'll all likewise perish. Come on. You know a message, but you ain't taking time to get the message.
I could prove that what I just said right now, but I don't want to embarrass anybody. We wonder why young people can shout on Sunday and vape on Monday and shout on Tuesday and get drunk on Thursday. How they can amen the preacher on Sunday and have sex with someone they're not married to on Sunday night. Hopefully I ain't losing parents right now. Hopefully. I never get pressure from young people. I'm trying to help them. I'm your best friend right now. Oh, I know you believe in one God, but can you explain it? Are you anchored by Acts 2:38? Is the message keeping you? Is it your reason for running? Because if you're still playing with sin, if you're always one weak moment away from backsliding, the problem is a message. You don't have it. Because when you get it, it'll keep you. You'll understand that this is not legalism. This is preservation of my purity and my sanity and my future and my... Come on, are you still with the man in the pulpit right now? Somebody's getting nervous. Let me preach truth. This world is bold. They're not afraid to say their filth. They sing it. They shout it. Welcome to Pentecost. You got a preacher in the pulpit right now that ain't afraid to preach that homosexuality and transgenderism is not true. It's a sinful lie. It's not afraid to preach that pornography will still destroy you. Are you hearing me, young people? I got some runners, but you got to get this message. Love him all over this house right now. Oh, you can do it louder than that. Lift your voice. Come on. If you truly had the message, you wouldn't always be one temptation away from leaving God. Do you have a revelation of holiness? Do you grasp the beauty of it? Or do you just run without tidings? God help us to get a hunger for revelation of this message. Come on, we're up against something right now. Walk with me in prayer. I need some spiritual people right now. Get in the Holy Ghost. Come on. There's some teenagers struggling with the condemnation over their temptation. I'm going to help somebody grab this message tonight. Come on, I need some old-time prayer warriors and intercessors. Reach all the way back to that old mantle of prayer. Help us lift this right now before we go any further. Go, go, go. Come on. Come on. Oh, yeah. You fact check everything on all your political views. You fact checked every message until it came to this message. You just listened to every backslidden friend. You just listened to every so-called social media influencer. You let every Torrin Wells and Stephen Furtick and T.D. Jakes tell you that this message ain't really necessary anymore. You've let backslidden apostolics give you a message and you didn't fact check them, but you come to church and you're struggling with hell and you're struggling with the devil and you've got a pastor that steps in a pulpit and he's got the answer and he's got the message and you shout, but you don't receive. You curb stomp the devil, but you didn't get the message and you're struggling. The message will get you over lust. The message will get you out of despair. The message will get you out of wanting to look like the world.
And when this generation can run but have no message, we end up creating apostates who fall into false doctrine the whole time thinking they're saved. They're running, but they're not getting anywhere. And they find out they don't know what they thought they knew when they get to witness moments and pressure moments and weak moments. Some teenagers in this house, you've heard enough preaching to save the globe. You got a mom and dad that loves you and weeps over you, and you fight them every day instead of thanking God that they're trying to preserve you from falling into the abyss that the world around you is going into. There's some preacher's kids right now. You're giving your daddy fits. He's trying to save that church, and you're letting hell get you twisted and try to use you as a thorn to stop that loving daddy that's weeping over you and praying for you to live right and be saved as he's watching hell try to shred your life.
And you just get a mad face when your pastor has to deal with your sin as if he's the problem. It's because you don't have a message. He's trying to save you from going to the destruction that he's watched so many other people go through. There's some people that when they shout, I don't get real excited about it, because some people just shout to have a cover up for to avoid close inspection of how they're really living. Oh yeah, especially those of us raised like myself in an apostolic church. Man, there was a time in my life I knew if I danced a little bit and moved at the right time, they wouldn't inspect my personal life too close. But I'm pulling the mask off of that tonight, not to hurt you, not to kick you down, but to try and save you. You're playing a shallow game of charades, but the devil ain't playing a game. He goes for keeps. He's after your soul. He's after the call to preach. God, I feel it right now. I'm fighting for somebody's calling. I'm fighting for somebody's anointing. I wish you would fight to be saved as hard as you fight against truth. I'm pleading with this generation. You've got everything you need to make it. You just got to grab this message. Come on. I don't care how talented you are. Do you pray? Is your spirit humble? Ahimus was a better runner. He was faster. He got there before Cushai did. But Cushai had the message. God don't care about your talent until he knows if you've got the message or not. Ahimus, you may could sing it better, but can you pray? You may could play it better, but do you have a message? You may can outrun the rest, but when you get there, how come you let him run? How come you won't let me run? Because he's faithful and you aren't. How come you let him in the pulpit? Because he prays and you don't. You still struggle with sin. What are you going to preach about? It's time to get the message, brother. Quit living in condemnation. You may not run as fast, but if you can talk in tongues until sin's stronghold breaks, that's what the king is waiting on. He wasn't waiting on Ahimaaz. He said, I need Cushai here. I need somebody that's got this. I need somebody that can live for God when their friends pressure them to do evil. I need somebody that can walk right when nobody's around. I need message carriers more than I need a fast runner. Go ahead. Go ahead, you pray while I'm talking. You pray in the... Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm glad for those of you responding, but I feel like God's dealing with me right now, that there's a few people hiding in the crowd right now that I've read your mail, and that old devil of hell is trying to get you to reject the message tonight. I'm preaching to Ahimus. Quit focusing on who gets to run. Worry about whether or not you've got something to run with. Who cares who played the solo? You figure out where the message is. That's where you need to spend your efforts. Who cares who got the mic? You figure out who got the altar, who got the prayer room. Come on, I'm fighting for you right now. The king is asking somebody, what's your message? Are you listening, dancers? I saw you jumping. What's the message? Do you know why you don't cut your hair, young lady? Do you know that it's in the Bible? Do you know that when you clip the bottom of your hair, you're clipping your authority in the prayer closet with God? Come on, you're out there somewhere. Come on, God's looking for you. There's some young men already in this altar call that are breaking through some stuff. Arremataya. Yeah, come on, Ahimus. Man, he showed up. He was there at MIC on Thursday night. He's going to be the first one up front when Brother Fish begins to deliver a word from the throne room. Oh, he got there before everybody else. But when the king started questioning him, when it came time that you need a little bit more than your Sunday night shout, you need a little bit more than you're poking the devil in the eye and throwing him over a fence. You need a little bit more than all this stuff that we do, and I'm all for it, brother. But when all that's done, when the lights are out, and that girl sends you that picture, and that boy says, come over, and that phone starts ringing, and that website ad comes across Instagram, and that half-dressed woman showed up in your reels, that's when you're going to find out, was all that running just shallow, or do you have something? Do you have an authority? Do you have a word? Cushai, do you have a message? It's when the shout's over. It's when you stop running and you try to catch your breath, and that temptation's glaring in your face, and that old addiction rages in your bones, and that old spirit of lust says it's late at night, and nobody knows you're laying in bed with your phone. That's when you find out, was that just a bunch of noise, or did you have something? Did you just make noise to cover up, or did you break loose? Did you get a message? Come on, I'm preaching right now. I'm preaching. Do you know why we live holy? Young lady, the deal about jewelry ain't got nothing to do with a mean pastor. Your Bible's preserving your beauty when it teaches not to wear that jewelry. I'm preaching to help somebody right now. Young man, there's a reason why you cut your hair. It's not because your pastor's a stick in the mud. There's power in prayer when you're uncovered as a man. There's a reason that every apostolic church that's in the bride has enough Holy Ghost sense to preach against the hellish Hollywood spirit and preaches we don't watch movies and we don't watch television and we still stand against it on Netflix. It's not just because we hate entertainment. We understand the message that those that take pleasure in those who do evil are worthy of the same death. And we're trying to get you to understand that if you shut off Hollywood, it'll keep your mind clean. If you delete that song off your Apple Music, it preserves your thoughts. It preserves your spirit. See, when you don't have a message, you resist that. But when you've got the message, you realize that's saving me. That's liberty. God, are you with me, parents? Hope I didn't lose you in this. I'm fighting for these babies. I'm fighting for these babies. Don't sacrifice their future on the altar of your carnal desires to be entertained. Come on. There's people up here weeping. Listen, you're going to pray through and God's going to give you victory. But I beg you, go home and open up the word and get the message. Get the message. I need everybody praying right here on the platform to the balcony. You claim the Holy Ghost. I need you to get up, open your mouth, and we're going to conquer hell right now. I need everybody praying while I minister to those in the altar right now. Go. Come on. Don't just sit on me right now. Don't. Come on. Help me. Help me. Help me. Mom, Dad, help me. Come on. All over the building. Open your mouth. Don't just stare at the floor. Don't pull out your phone right now. That text message can wait. There's a war going on. There's people struggling with their identity. There's shouters that are trying to get free of stuff right now. I need you to pray. Balcony, are you there? Mezzanine, don't whisper. Go. We can go louder. Push. 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 I know there's people here you've shouted, but you don't know why the scripture teaches holiness. You don't know why you dress the way you dress. You don't know why we have to do it this way. You're backsliding in silence. You're backsliding in ignorance because you learned how to shout, but you never got the message. And you can't live what you don't know. Are you helping me, parents? We've got to lift this a little higher. My God, I've got so much I still had to preach. But right now, you need to move. You need to get out of your seat and pack in right now. Pack in. Come on. If you've got the Holy Ghost, I need your help right now. I'm calling everybody in. I'm doing a draft notice on the army of the Lord. Move. Get in this altar. Take that backslidden friend and say, come on, let's go get a message. Don't go to hell. Don't ruin your life. Come on. I need your help. Come on. Yeah, I got so much more. I didn't even touch the fullness of this. I may have to preach a part two sometime in a few years from now. But you got to move. There's a battle going on. Holy Ghost is moving now. I'm moving now. Come on. It's breakout time. It's Holy Ghost time. And I don't need you to whisper. I need you to lift your voice. I need you young preachers to wade in and go to war right now. Start praying. I need some young men struggling with hell. You got to get real. It's time to man up. Get in this altar and let hell know what's up. I'm going to run with this message. I'm not going to stop running, but I'm going to carry something. I've got oneness. I've got holiness. I've got consecration. I've got it. I've got it. You ain't got to worry about me getting in a back seat. You ain't got to worry about me clicking on that website. You ain't. Get back, devil. Shut your mouth, condemnation. Shut your mouth, homosexuality. Shut your mouth, lust and fornication. Shut your mouth, pride. Shut your mouth, compromise. Shut your mouth, the confusion. There's revelation in this house. We've got dating rules because we're trying to preserve your future. We don't want you getting an STD. We don't want you getting a baby out of wedlock. You've got a marriage coming. We're trying to save it. Pray, pray. Help me in the back. Close in and pray. Don't just stand there. Pray. Come on, we got to break this right here. That spirit of hell is trying to silence this altar call. I would to God everybody under the sound of my voice would open your mouth out loud and begin to pray with everything you've got right now. Come on, would you do that? All over, go from side to side, mouth open. Let's break this. I'm not letting the devil lock this altar call up. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. Help me in the name of Jesus. Shout it out and pray in the Holy Ghost. Devil, get away from my youth group. Devil, get away from our preacher's kids. Devil, get away from our young people. We got message carriers. God's birthing a calling. Go to war. Go to war. Go to war. Go. Come on, I keep being drawn to this section over here somewhere. Somebody's struggling in this sea of faces. I need somebody that's spiritual. Just reach over and take somebody by the hand somewhere in this area. I don't know who it is. It may be the person you grab, but begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. There's a soul at stake right here. There's a young person about to throw their whole life away over something so stupid. Go, go, right? Somebody over here. I need people to pray. Pray, pray. We're going to shut the devil down right now. Not here, devil. No, no, no. Go, go, go. Go. Pray, pray, pray. I need young men praying right now. Let the tears flow till you cry. Till you... My God, I felt that right there. Go ahead. Come on over here and let it go. Push, push, push. Don't stop. We're just now breaking through. It's time to lean into this. Somebody rock back and forth until the Holy Ghost just takes over and begin to pray in tongues until you feel strongholds break. We've got to loose this place in Jesus' name.